From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the ninth day of June 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's out of Newmarket, Indiana. And then Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Along the way, we'll hear from the statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, getting an update on conditions in their areas, and take a complete look at crop progress around the nation. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Mark Report. The Closing Mark Report is a production of public radio on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on a Tuesday afternoon. Futures there were higher for the day. July contract in the soft red winter wheat up 15 and 3 quarters of a cent at 613 and 3 quarters. September at 642 up 16. And December at 667 and a quarter up 15 and 3 quarters. July wheat in Kansas City for the hard red up 12 and 3 quarters at $6.65 and a half cents on the afternoon. July corn at $4.44, settlement up 9. September at 453 and a quarter, 8 and a half higher. And December corn futures 466 and a quarter, a settlement up 8 and 1 quarter. March contract 477 and a half, up 8 and a quarter. And the May futures in the corn pit, an 8-cent gain at $4.84 and 3 quarters. July soybean futures, 11 cents higher today, 12.43 and a half the settlement. August at 11.77 and a quarter, up 10 and 3 quarters. September futures, $11.10, up 14 cents. And November soybean settled $10.72 and a half, a 20 and 3 quarters of a cent gain. January futures, 10.79 and a quarter, up 20 and 3 quarters as well. And the March contract, 22 and a half higher at $10.78 on its settlement price. July bean meal at $4.07.80, up 6.10. August bean meal at $3.76, up 4.40. July oil, 5 cents higher at $39.45. And the August at $39.58, 6 cents higher. June live cattle futures, $80.17 and a half, 75 higher. August up $1.10 at $81.72 and a half, and the feeder cattle finished the August at $96.32 and a half, up 47 and a half cents. The July lean hog futures at $58.75 finished 75 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $70 and a penny, a settlement price up $1.92 in the July. Ethanol lead option at $1.77 3/10, up 3 1/10 of a cent. Natural gas at $3.73 2/10, up 1/10 of a cent. And the RBOB gas lean at $1.96 1/2, up 2 9/10 of a cent. July heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 3 7/10 higher at $1.80 1/2. And the propane futures traded the August contract to a settlement price of $85.07 1/10, or rather 85 7/10 of a cent. And they finished just about 1/10 of a cent higher. Gold futures at $954, up $2.30. The Dow at 8776, that is, up 12.4 for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 79.77 is down 1.13. The CRB index at 260.37 is up 4.4 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sola, he says tonight in western Illinois should be mostly cloudy. Scattered showers possible this evening, then showers and a few thunderstorms likely after midnight. Mike says in the eastern part of Illinois and western Indiana, it should become mostly cloudy. Showers and isolated thunderstorms arriving after midnight. In eastern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy. Lows will range from near 50 along the Lake Michigan shorefront to around 70 in the far south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, thunderstorms. Highs will range from 64 near Lake Michigan to around 85 in the far south. The extended forecast is the next week to 10 days. We'll see frequent showers and thunderstorms across Illinois and Indiana with several inches of rain expected in the south, central, and southern locations. Some localized flooding is possible, but the impact on agricultural interest is expected to be minimal. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the line with us from his office in New Market, Indiana, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
How are you doing today?
What an exciting day and what action we had in these markets for just what was expected to be a quiet, consolidating day before a report, Todd.
Yeah, quiet, consolidating day before the report, and we turned around on Tuesday and put a lot of green on the board. Was that simply because the dollar was lower?
Well, that was part of the reason. Crude oil higher, the dollar lower, and I think the anticipation of the report in the morning, and a few people maybe moving out of their long July, short November spreads before we did see the numbers tomorrow. And a little bit of anticipation of maybe some bullish numbers popping forth tomorrow and the continued good activity. The banks, part of them being said they were healthy enough to repay some of the government money. So a little bit of the economy flowing along and the inflation factor sitting all in there together. All those together give us a little higher day today.
Well, let's talk about the numbers that the traders are thinking might turn bullish tomorrow. Are they looking for a lower national yield on corn?
Well, I think that that is very definite, the possibility that they're looking at for the new crop corn, Todd. You know, the later time, I know that Darrell has made comments about how much our average yield should be reduced for Illinois with the average late planting date for the state and what things going around. So that, of course, is number one. We won't, of course, see... We never have seen in the past where the government's changed their amount of acres planted on this report. That generally comes in the June 30th report. They don't change the project acres, but that can be used a little bit by how we talk about the average yields and what we figure there. So that's one of the things that we're looking at in the possibility. There was also the talk that as we see more demand being rolled out of old crop because of the big price differential in new crop beans, that the government might increase some of the exports for the new crop beans.
I thought it was rather interesting that old crop beans did not gain nearly as much as the new crop today. What was the reason there?
I think as we talked to the traders on the floor, that there was a little bit of unwinding of just some profits being taken before the report tomorrow, not knowing what sort of figures the government might throw out. It might be just a tad more bullish new crop if they feel there'll be more rolled out and the stocks would not decrease as much as they thought in the old crop beans for the report tomorrow, Todd.
What do you see in the livestock sector?
The livestock sector, well, we've gained back a little bit, but boy, we're under pressure here. You know, the hogs being down again today, $57 hogs just aren't making any money, especially at the higher prices of corn and bean meal. And we've got a real disaster going in the hog industry. But, you know, cattle barely clung above 80 cents and not a big money maker there, but a lot better than the hogs are.
The disaster with the hogs and the dairy is not faring very well either. I don't know whether you deal with very many dairy clients.
The dairy industry, yes. We've got this milk down here way under, you know, we're down in that $10 to $11 bracket, and just a year ago we were up in the $17 to $18 bracket on milk. So not a very pretty picture for the dairy farmer either.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Well, you know, we're looking forward in anticipation of the report tomorrow, and I'm sure there'll be some surprises for us.
Well, there always are. Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Speaking of that report, if you'd like to get those numbers delivered directly to you, why don't you sign up in the next, several hours here at willag.org, willag.org, over on the right-hand side of the page. Just hit subscribe for our weekend newsletter, and we will be sure to get you those numbers very early in the morning, not long after they're released, around 7:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. USDA's reports are out at that time. That's 7:30 Central Time. You can sign up at willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always catch up on what we're up to at willag.org, and you can download this program, Commodity Week, the pre-opening and opening market reports. Listen to Sue Martin, which we post at the noon hour at willag.org, anytime you'd like, each and every business day of the year. We've got a couple of extra things that are there now, too. There's a brand new weather podcast, which includes the meteorologist from Illinois Public Media, and it is a great way to keep up on what's happening in the Midwest. It's all at willag.org. Now, let's talk a little bit about weather, speaking of that, and how it's been impacting crop progress across the nation. By the week's end, on Saturday of last week, 97% of the nation's corn acreage, says NASS, was planted, and that was on par with last year's pace, but 2 points behind the five-year rolling average. The progress was mostly made in North Dakota and the Corn Belt states of Indiana and Illinois, where producers planted 12, and 11% of their crop, respectively. Emergence advanced to 87% complete. That's on par with last year, but 7 points behind normal. Following large jumps in the number of acres planted in the previous weeks, the most crop development was seen in North and South Dakota, with 29 and 27% of the crop emerging during that week. Overall, 69% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared with 60% a week ago and the previous year. Now the soybeans nationally, 78% of the soybean crop has been planted, 2 points ahead of last year, 9 points behind the rolling five-year average. Planting neared completion in Nebraska, Minnesota, and Iowa, three of the top six soybean-producing states, with 99, 97, and 95% of the crop planted, respectively. Strong pushes in the plantings were made in northern Dakota and in Illinois, where producers took advantage of improved conditions and made up for some lost time. Emergence jumped 19 points during the week to 55% complete, 3 points ahead of the previous year, 15 points behind the five-year average. Winter wheat heading in this year's winter wheat crop reached 84% by the week's end, compared with 82% last year and 88% for the average. Favorable growing conditions in Oregon and Michigan allowed for significant crop development during that week. Overall, 44% of the crop is rated in good to excellent condition nationwide, compared with 45% a week ago and 47% last year. Now, here are the statisticians from Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, director of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crop and weather report for the week ending June 7, 2009. Planting and growing conditions continue to diverge from one corner of Iowa to the other, leaving farmers hoping for vastly different weather in the coming weeks. As the southeast tries to dry out, the northwest needs additional rain, and many reporters agree that warmth would help crops progress. As rain fell across the state during the week, most southern districts received over an inch of rainfall, with some counties seeing over 3 inches or more. In the northern districts, the rain was generally lighter, with some areas getting only a half inch or less. Farmers are staying busy with weed control and scouting for early signs of harmful insects. With corn planting virtually complete, 95% of the corn acres had emerged, compared with 87% last year and the normal pace of 96%. Corn condition was rated 71% good to excellent. Soybean planting advanced 4 percentage points from last week to 95% complete, ahead of last year but on par with the five-year average. Southern districts continue to lag behind the statewide planting pace due to wet conditions and the additional rainfall. 80% of the state's soybean crop has emerged, just ahead of last year, but equal to the five-year average. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 7th. The week ended with near normal rainfall and below normal temperatures, providing an average of 4 days suitable for field work. Farmers were able to continue planting corn and soybeans, with corn planting nearing completion. Corn planting advanced by 11 percentage points to 93% complete, trailing last year's 95% and the five-year average of 99%. 73% of the corn crop was reported emerged, compared with 86% 1 year ago and 96% for the five-year average. Leading the state in corn emergence was the Eastern Crop Reporting District at 87%. and the average height of all corn emerged was 7 inches, the same as 1 year ago, but 8 inches short of the 15-inch 5-year average. Soybean planting advanced to 59% complete. This compares to 65% 1 year ago and 88% for the 5-year average. 23% of the crop was reported emerged, trailing last year's 41% and the 76% 5-year average. Leading the state in soybean emergence was the Northwestern Crop Reporting District at 40%. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported at 80% of the heads filled, compared with 60% filled last year and 85% for the 5-year average. 37% of the crop was reported turning yellow, compared with 21% 1 year ago and 57% for the 5-year average. 2% of the crop was reported ripe, compared to 10% normally. The condition of the wheat crop was rated as fair to mostly good. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending June 7, 2009. Temperatures across the state averaged 6 degrees below normal. Precipitation was widespread, with every district reporting at least an average of a half inch. Corn conditions rated 84% good or excellent. Soybeans are mostly emerged, a week ahead of the average, and conditions are mostly good or excellent. Three-quarters of the sorghum has been planted and over half has emerged. Oat conditions rated mostly good or excellent, and a third has headed. Wheat conditions are mostly good or excellent and remain well above last year. Three-quarters of the wheat has headed. Harvest in the southeast is expected to begin around the 1st of July and by mid-July in the panhandle. In the west, over half of the dry beans and a quarter of the proso millet has been planted. Alfalfa first cutting is over halfway complete and conditions rated mostly good or excellent. Pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 7, 2009. Cool weather was noted as affecting crop emergence and growth throughout the state. Some northern locations reported frost. There were 5.9 days suitable for field work during the week. Corn was 96% emerged with an average height of 6 inches. Soybeans advanced to 97% planted and 74% emerged, with an average height of 2 inches. Both crops were rated in generally good to excellent condition. 81% of the spring wheat and 80% of the barley has emerged, with 11 and 9% jointing, respectively. Oats was 93% emerged, with 32% jointing. Crop conditions for all three small grains were primarily rated fair to good. This is the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 7th, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
This is Jerry Thoris with the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report. Producers are continuing forward despite wet soil conditions that are hampering progress and forcing some to replant. Isolated severe weather was reported across the northern third of the state, bringing damaging winds and some hail. Crop progress is a week to 10 days ahead of last year. Only 4% of the state's topsoil moisture supplies are less than adequate. Spring tillage is about 90% complete, 9 days behind the normal pace. There were over 4 days suitable for field work last week, with the Southwest District reporting nearly every day possible. Corn planting is 95% complete, and emergence is 83%, a little over a week behind the normal pace. Corn conditions rated similar to last week statewide, with better conditions in the North Central District that were offset by poorer conditions in the Southwest. Soybean planting is about 60% complete, and over a third of the crop has emerged. Nearly all of the rice has emerged. Only 4% of the rice is rated in less than fair condition. Sorghum planting is about 60% complete, an 18-point increase from last week. A little over 60% of the wheat has turned color, 40 is behind the normal pace, and harvest has begun in the Southeast District. Rainfall averaged nearly 9-tenths of an inch statewide, with a range of 3-tenths of an inch in the Southwest District to 1-6-tenths of an inch in the Northwest District. Holt County reported 5-8-tenths of an inch of rain last week. This is Jerry Thorson with USDA's Missouri Ag Statistics Service in Columbia.
And I'm Todd Gleason, Illinois Public Media, and this is the Closing Market Report. Our thanks to the statisticians for joining us each and every Tuesday. We give you an update of what's happening around the Midwest with them. It's great to hear exactly how farmers are doing in those fields all over the middle part of the nation and the best part of the Corn Belt. Our thanks to those statisticians for sending reports to us each and every Tuesday to update you. Now, speaking of updating, time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural energy. Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services joins us. That's an ADM affiliate out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is it still gorgeous there in Chicago? Because it's a nice day here.
You know, I don't get a chance to get out very often during the day. No, it's a little cloudy.
Well, the screens are green, so maybe that's helpful. How about that?
Yeah, no, that certainly brightens up things.
Well, tell me just a bit about that, because crude oil was higher today by a couple of bucks. In fact, finished over $70 in the July and the August contract, and the U.S. dollar was a bit lower, made it some of the corn and soybeans and other products cheaper on the world market.
Well, you really saw an inflection point here over the past couple of days, I think, in terms of people really drawing a line in the sand between the bulls and bears. Questions certainly remain over whether demand is actually on the road to recovery or recent buying is purely tied to dollar weakness and inflation hedge buying. I certainly see a lot of reasons to think it's more the latter than the former. Certainly will We'll see some demand numbers coming out here over the next couple of days out of the International Energy Agency, which should shed some light on whether we have started to turn the corner in terms of demand.
So caution from your end. How do you think ethanol producers are doing at this point?
Well, certainly they have been helped by the fact that we've seen ethanol move to a discount to the gasoline. So that could certainly help the profit margins tend to hold up better than what they have. I think the demand side, though, is still rather questionable overall for the gasoline. But as we move through the summer, we're going to look at a pretty stable environment here in terms of demand for corn for ethanol.
Diesel fuel has not rallied as much as others, and you'll have to follow that for me just a bit, but it has been lower at the pump than regular gasoline. Is there any reason to believe it will start to rebound some?
Well, we have seen a real strong rally in the diesel from its lows in line with the crude oil. And in fact, the heating oil, which is pretty much what we trade in terms of the diesel market, probably it's rallied as much as 60 cents. So even though we've backed off the gasoline, or at least the discount to the of diesel to the gasoline, I think what we'll start to see is the diesel possibly start to catch up to the gasoline here over the next month or so as gasoline maybe holds back. And we've seen that here the last few weeks in terms of heating oil gaining on the gasoline.
Stephen, thanks so much.
Okay.
Stephen,
have a good day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. It's an ADM affiliate out of Chicago, Illinois. He joins us once a month on a Tuesday to talk about the agricultural futures markets. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Strawberry Rhubarb Pie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1768, Samuel Slater was born. An English-American mechanical engineer, Slater is credited with founding the American cotton textile industry. He established the first successful cotton mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. In 1822, Peter Henderson was born. A Scottish-American scientist, he is known as the father of American horticulture. He published Gardening for Profit, the first American book devoted entirely to market gardening. Henderson practiced what he wrote. He began a seed business in 1865. In 1900, Fred Waring was born. He provided financial development for improving the electric blender. Waring wanted a machine that could puree raw vegetables for the ulcer diet his doctors prescribed. The Waring blender, originally called the Miracle Mixer, debuted in 1937 and sold for $29.75. By 1954, 1 million Waring blenders had been sold. In 1902, Frank Hardart and Joe Horn opened the first automat at 818 Chestnut Street in Philadelphia. It was a combination of fast food vending machines and a cafeteria. The opening is generally considered the birth date of the modern fast food chain. And in 1953, John H. Kraft received a patent for the manufacture of soft surface curd cheese. The patent had a provision discussing how the mold pad could be readily removed from the cheese surface. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast for the afternoon is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, a beautiful afternoon late into the evening yesterday. Gorgeous night last night. Really nice day today for a while. And then we're going to get wet again, I think, aren't we?
We certainly are. It really looks like a very active thunderstorm pattern is going to be developing here to beginning tomorrow and basically continuing off and on through the weekend and probably into early next week as a series of very moist weather systems will be coming east, northeast, out of the Plain States, and running into plenty of moisture. So this is going to set off showers and thunderstorms, especially Missouri, central and southern Illinois, central and southern Indiana, central and southern Ohio, the Ohio River Valley area, then down into portions of eastern Kansas, southeast Nebraska, and southern Iowa. So the central and southern Corn Belt, we'll see the bulk of the rain.
Can't you just push that a little further north so they can get done planting and the guys that have done it can get a little rain? They might actually want it at this point.
I tell you, we are just stuck in a weather pattern, Todd, that is going to cause what we call training, where the systems will basically pass by where the one previously did. So there'll be a system. It will take this next one behind it will take a similar track like rail cars on a freight train, and this tends to just keep it going in terms of rainfall in the same areas with each disturbance.
Anything outside of that we need to watch in the nation?
Well, we need to keep an eye on temperatures because with the cloud cover, with the high probability of rain that's coming on in, our 10-day average temperature will be going below normal. Temperatures are going to be well below normal across most of the nation. Only the far southern and southeast United States will have above normal or near normal temperatures. So we're going to do very poorly in terms of heat unit accumulation all across the Corn Belt. This extends from the Great Lakes to the Corn Belt to the Western Plains.
And once you get outside of the United States, what do you see in the growing regions around the globe?
Well, if we go over to China, really not unlike what's going on here. Precipitation chances are going to be very high throughout all of China, and their temperatures are going to be averaging below normal as well. If we head over into Europe, precipitation there is looking to be average to a little bit above average. In fact, most of Europe, Eastern and Western Europe, this includes portions of Russia and Ukraine, looking at adequate precipitation in the forecast. So for the growing areas of the Northern Hemisphere, everybody's about in the same boat. Good chances for rain, but temperatures averaging below normal.
Anything else we need to check on before I let you go for the night?
Keep the rain gear handy.
All right. Thank you much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.